This is episode 395, dated Monday, June 16th, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Great to be with all of you today. Before we continue, let me introduce the panel members that we have thus far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. Good evening from a summery Pasadena, California. It's 86 and clear. It's probably going to break 90 and... So summer has definitely arrived in the middle of June.
I want to mention that this is episode 395, dated Monday, June 16th, 2025. And the weather here today is average for mid-June, 70 to 75 degrees with partly sunny skies. Don Wardlow.
Well, hi there. In Jersey, if you're familiar with the Ray Bradbury story or the old radio show, There Shall Come Soft Rain. Well, that's what Jersey had today. Luckily, it was soft rain because I had to wait an hour for my 11 o'clock ride to show up at noon to get me to get my hearing aid fixed.
Okay. Reverend Michael Garrett.
And good afternoon and a welcome from... stormy, 82 degrees in Missouri City, Texas.
As far as I know,
I was just going to say, Bob, we're in the midst of a lot of rain. We went out last night. We were in the middle of a storm, but we're getting it down here right now.
From what I gather, Peter Altschul and Luther King should be here shortly, and when they arrive, I'm sure they will let us know. Let me thank those people who will make it possible for a Sports Roundtable to be made available. We start out with Raymond Gay, our producer, our media outlets. Thank you very much for airing us. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions. Thank you for archiving our programs on my website. For those of you who would like to find the archives, all you need to do is go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And as Peter always says, merci, Jackie. I want to say hi to Trish, our facilitator, and thank her very much for helping us out today, as well as Diane, for being our streamer. And because we are being streamed, let me give out my email address. It is bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. Mitch said something very interesting to me before we started the show. He implied that I might have steam coming out of my ears, and I think he's right, figuratively speaking. The Red Sox made one of the craziest moves in my entire lifetime as a baseball fan. I'm serious about this. And to make matters worse, the timing was terrible, if you really think about it. The Red Sox are suddenly playing excellent baseball. They've won 7 out of their last 8, including 5 in a row. They've taken 5 out of 6 from the Yankees. Sorry about that, Don. And after all that, they traded Rafael Devers to San Francisco for guys, for the most part, that I have never heard of before. So I'm in total shock about this. What the heck happened here?
So, Bob, yes. How much did Devers contribute to the winning streak?
Well, he hit the long ball a few times. He is a DH, and he has 60 RBIs, which leads the team. He has 15 home runs, which leads the team. There's no other offensive juggernaut better than him right now, if you want to talk about that kind of production.
But what I said to Bob earlier is that Devers strikes me as a sports prima donna. He must have friends in the NBA because he complained when they signed Bregman. He complained about being moved to DH and did it apparently very reluctantly, or into second base or whatever. And then they said later when the first baseman your prize young first baseman was injured for the year, he complained about that. And there, you know, baseball is a team sport, far more than basketball, and just the fact that he complained about it, this is not. And you brought up Manny Ramirez. You got a whole different management than you had during Manny's time in Boston. And I think the management just said, you know what, we don't need any malcontents on this team. Boston isn't like L.A. and San Francisco and all that, Bob, on this coast. You know, we put up with everybody, whether we should or not. But Boston's a little different culture. And I think they just decided, let's cut our losses. We don't need this kind of nonsense. And there was already something I caught a headline about this morning that Devers is already causing a little strife among the Giants players because they're not sure where he's going to fit in, whether he's going to play third, second, DH, you know, whatever. So just he sounds like a malcontent, and you might sometimes there's a term in sports, addition by subtraction.
Maybe
a better team.
My question then is, why did the Giants want him in the first place?
Because they don't have any hitting. That's why. And there are just teams. Buster Posey, you know, he wants to make a big splash. This is his first year as general manager, so he's taken a swing. He's taken a risk.
And I likened it to when I replied to Bob, I likened it to the Mavs getting rid of Luka Doncic.
Yeah,
you know, it's a management thing that both teams are looking for something, and one team is not sure about how that player is going to act in the locker room or his on field. They know his on field performance is what they need, but they're looking at that over the morale of the team. So
Boston is a team that is going to get rid of a malcontent. He's not the first. He's not even the second. Manny Ramirez was the other one. You mentioned him, but what about, you go back a generation, what about Carl Crawford and whoever else got traded in that deal, got shipped from Boston to L.A.?
I sure did.
I don't remember all the moving parts in
Adrian
that one.
Gonzalez, Josh Beckett, Adrian. Nick Puto.
Yeah, that was a fantastic trade for us. Crawford had 1.5 good years. We still love Adrian Gonzalez. He does commercials for us. That was even a more one-sided trade than this one.
Well, you gave up James Loney, who's a good glove.
Well, yes, and would hit, but he wasn't a great hitter. He was a 250, 260 hitter. Yeah.
The old right fielder. I remember you talking to me about him, man.
No,
if I had known you then, Bob, I would have told you that Carl Crawford was going to be a malcontent. I'd known him all the way back to the minor leagues, and he was trouble then, and he was trouble in Boston.
He was injured a lot, too.
Yeah, he had a couple of good years with us, the last half season and then the following year, and then after that, yeah, the injury bug came back to get him. But the other thing I said to Bob before we got started, there was a little blurb from Sports Illustrated that if the Red Sox do collapse, then maybe they should consider, the Dodgers should consider going after Aroldis Chapman, who's apparently having a resurgence.
He is.
There were a couple of years he wasn't doing very much. So I don't know if the Dodgers are going to do that. They're more interested, I think, in another starting pitcher. But, maybe a fire sale in Boston there, Mr. Branco.
Well, right now they're one game above 500, and at this point they have no reason to make a fire sale, although I was talking to a friend of mine earlier who believes that there's going to be a lot of angst and a lot of rebellion on this team. They're going to quit on the team because Devers is gone. I don't know necessarily if that's the case. And if it's not the case, I don't see why they would suddenly collapse. I know they're going to miss that bat, but all of a sudden their starting pitching is turned around. They've had six outings in a row where the starter has gone at least six innings. Now that's saying something about this team, considering what they've done all season so far.
Is Walker Buehler back?
Walker Buehler's back.
All right.
For now.
For now, yeah.
So, unless they go in the tank, Mitch, which they've already gone in the tank once this year, so I can understand why they could. But if they won five in a row, seven out of eight, they're one game above 500, they're one game behind the third wild card right now, which is the Minnesota Twins, Troy, if you're listening. We might pass you the way we're playing. And if
you said something about the pitchers going six innings. Isn't this something you've been talking about all year long, how they would never let the pitchers go six innings in Boston?
Well, I was as surprised to hear about it as the fact that they did it, Don. But you know, they're one game over 500. And right now they have no reason to be sellers. Now, if they continue on this road, of course they need a bat, obviously. But I don't know. They're playing well at the moment. I'm going to ride with it till it stops.
Well, my annoyance is that Boston had to trade him to the Giants, and you know, the Giants will always be our rival, not the Padres. The Padres are the pretenders, and we've beaten both teams two out of three. So you know, we're beginning to assert our domination again, I think. And Shohei's pitching tonight. So he's
two innings, right?
Make his first start.
Shohei's pitching.
Yep. They first started saying, you know, he wouldn't pitch until right before the All-Star break. Mm. But given all the problems that starters have had, they've got him. You know, they had him doing bullpen sessions, and tonight was going to be a bullpen game. So I think what they decided is, hey, we'll just put him out there, let him pitch an inning or two, and ramp him up that way.
I don't know how much.
Go ahead, Mike.
Excuse me, Don. I was just going to ask, when he pitches, does he bat also?
Yes.
Hmm.
And what Major League Baseball indicated, and I guess they did it when he was with the Angels, but there's a limit normally, a roster limit, 13 pitchers and 13 position players. But what they've indicated is that the Dodgers can carry 13 pitchers plus Ohtani, technically making the 14th. They don't have to make a roster adjustment. So the advantage is that the Dodgers, you know, can carry 14 pitchers, basically.
Don, go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yeah,
Don,
one
go
thing
ahead.
Devers is not going to like when he gets out to Frisco, if he doesn't already know it. That is not a particularly good hitting ballpark, and it never has been. Especially compared to Fenway and some of the other American League ball yards.
Don, I don't know anything about what kind of speed he has. But what San Francisco has is a huge right center field area, and it's kind of triples haven. If he can pull the ball, he'll hit a lot of balls into McCovey Cove. But if he hits to right center, if he's got any speed at all, he may have a bunch of triples.
Well, Bob would know better about that than I would, because I'm not that much of a Devers fan. I don't know if he's a speed man. You know, it doesn't seem likely because he was a corner infielder, and those are rarely speed demons.
Yeah.
Don, I have a question for you. As you know, the Red Sox swept the Yankees this weekend.
Don't I just?
They struck out Aaron Judge 9 times.
I don't want to think about that. Yeah. Yeah. And didn't they either sweep or take 2 out of 3 last weekend in the Bronx?
They took 2 out of 3 in the Bronx. They took 2 out of 3 against,
See, why couldn't they get rid of their malcontent 2 weeks ago?
Well, this is my question, Don. How long has this trade been in the planning stages? There's a report that when John Henry, took Devers aside back on May 9th after he copped that attitude after Casas got hurt, that maybe the conversation wasn't what we thought it was. Maybe the conversation back then was, you want out of here, Rafael? Then we're working on it. It's going to take some time. You think that might have been part of that conversation on May 9th?
Good thought. I don't know.
Because I find it hard to believe that after the Red Sox won 5 in a row, that Breslow got out of bed and said, I'm trading Devers today. I can't believe that happened.
Bob, but my question back to you is, given Devers' personality, if John Henry had said that to him, would Devers have kept his mouth shut?
If he was told to, I think he would try, I would think. No?
Well, you may be right. You know him better than I do.
But I don't know. But of course, John.
He doesn't strike me as someone who'd keep that sort of information to himself.
I really think it's plausible that if he was told we're working on it, that may have contented him.
Yes, it could have.
Well, maybe.
It could have. But getting back to John Henry, he has a reputation right now of not caring about the Red Sox because he has too many irons and too many fires. He's got the Liverpool soccer team. He's got the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's even talk that all of this Devers money that he gave up is going to go to pay new soccer players. I don't know if that's true or not, but you hear all kind of things on talk shows.
Well, Henry may also have something else to think about. I caught a piece of a story that Mario Lemieux and some other folks are looking to repurchase the Penguins.
Oh, I hope they do.
So maybe that's gotten some of his attention.
Well, on another note, the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Indiana Pacers are almost ready to wrap up their series. I still lean toward Indiana, although if you had asked me 3 months ago who I thought would win it all, if the Celtics didn't win it all, I might have said Oklahoma, but that's neither here nor there. What are your thoughts on the series right now?
I'm surprised Indiana has played as well as they have against the defensive juggernaut. That series is going to go 7. And I said last week I thought the Thunder would take it, but now I don't know. I think that's going to go 7. And I guess game 7's in Oklahoma City, so you got to give a slight edge to the Thunder.
I don't know because, the way the coaches are coaching, I think that Oklahoma City is being outcoached. They're being done to what they do to other teams from a defensive standpoint and from a bench standpoint. Right now, they're getting a lot of productivity from their bench. And Oklahoma City is not playing their bench as much as they did in the regular season, which is a shame because you saw in game 3 when SGA, he literally had nothing in the fourth quarter. And that's when they really needed him.
Well, Indiana, apparently, and I've not been following the games, but apparently Indiana has played pretty good defense themselves, which, you know, all I can go on is how they played the Lakers in 3 games this year, and L.A. beat them 2 out of 3, and those were like all-star games. The two teams didn't play defense. They just ran up and down the court throwing shots down. So Apparently, Rick Carlisle's got them playing some defense, too.
Well, that's what they had to play defense against Oklahoma, and they have to run. But that's their style. I think they beat the Knicks because they came with that style of play, and they were ready for Oklahoma because Oklahoma plays run, shoot, and physical. So Indiana is trying to beat them at their own game. I think the winner of tonight's game will win the series.
That's quite possible. And of course there was a major trade in basketball yesterday. In fact, I wish Luther were here right now because it involved his team. The Memphis Grizzlies, I'm assuming that's Luther's team. They traded Baines to the Orlando Magic for multiple draft picks. And the rumor is that John Morant is next to go.
Yeah, I was listening to Colin this morning, and he thinks with the Magic picking up this guy that they're going to be a contender next year in the East. That they
agree.
Now have four core guys. And
Wagner, Carroll, Bain, and Cole Anthony?
Yeah, I don't remember. The thing that caught my attention was talking about Wagner. The Lakers drafted one of the two brothers. There were two brothers, and I don't know if they drafted and got rid of the good one or if they drafted and got rid of the one that isn't as good. But
well, Mo was with the Wizards for a while.
And I don't remember. I think it was Mo that the Lakers drafted, but I don't know which one's which. So, but apparently Orlando's making some strides, and Memphis just got they're sick and tired of Jaws' antics and his lack of maturity, and you know he'll probably go to the Wizards. The Wizards pick up a lot of garbage.
I was gonna say who wants these head cases?
The Wizards.
I hear the Wizards want to give up Marcus Smart.
He's been around a bit.
Former Celtic, former Grizzly, actually.
Yeah, he's been around. He's been around a few teams. The other situation is Kevin Durant.
Yeah,
I heard about him too. He may go to the
Spurs,
which I don't understand that one. The Timberwolves is a possibility, although they'd probably have to trade Gobert to get him, which I think would be a mistake. Troy, if you're listening, you might want to comment later. Go ahead, Mike.
They're saying that, you know, putting him in there with Fox, Wembanyama, and Durant would give them their three-headed monster. And
the Spurs would have to do a lot to actually make that happen.
Hey, Luther, do you think
about? They're willing. I hear, they're willing.
Would they have to trade De'Aaron Fox, or would they keep De'Aaron Fox?
No,
and keep Victor, and
They have a high draft choice. That they would give
and
them.
The draft is coming up a week from Thursday, I think.
Yes.
A week from Wednesday. Excuse me.
Oh, it's on Wednesday this year. Usually,
I think it's the 25th and 26th.
Oh, both days.
I think it's like night one is next Wednesday, and night two is a week from Thursday.
Luther, what is your thought? What is your thought about what Memphis did yesterday?
What did the Grizzlies do yesterday?
They traded Baines to Orlando for multiple first round picks.
My guess is this is now going to be, they were trying to shed some cap room. And I think they are at the point now with the Grizzlies that there are some guys that they feel that the front office feels like are holding them back to getting where they want to be. And they want to try to make this team even more of Ja's team. if Ja can get his head on straight. Because I think they really want to see Ja Morant be the leader of this team moving forward. That's what I think.
If he sticks around.
Well, that's the question. Because I think what's going to happen is I think some of these guys that were there, like Aldama and a few other guys that are still young and still have, you know, some work and can still be, you know, controlled, I think they're going to try to basically make a brand new nucleus with this Grizzlies team. Have they even decided on a head coach yet? I don't think they even have yet. If they you know, started the search for that head coach.
I have no idea.
And, oh, to answer your question on the Rafi Devers, I know you had sent something this morning.
Yes.
I'm surprised. Well, I'm kind of not surprised they made the move because, you know, I just felt like they needed first base help immediately. And for me, it just feels like they had finally reached an impasse and their frustration level in the front office got to the point of like, if he's not going to be a team player for us, we'll send him somewhere else and make them, you know, make him the headache for the San Francisco Giants. I think that's what it came down to.
You're echoing what we kind of talked about earlier.
Yeah. That's just, you know, that's just my thought because they weren't going to send him within, they weren't going to send him to the same, you know, in the same side of the division. They were going to send him to the National League and play.
How long do you think this has been going on, Luther? Look, I find it very hard.
As I said before
you came in, I find it hard to believe that the Red Sox front office would wait for a hot streak and then trade Devers.
Well, here's the thing. I think when Rafi Devers said no, he would not, you know, switch and play first. He was already DHing anyway. That he, you know, could have and should have moved and played DH and still had first base. But he, you know, wouldn't, you know, move over to play first. And they're like, you know what? He is not the headache of being paid $300 million. So what we can do is wait until Sunday night when the series against the Yankees is over. The Giants have a good enough offer. They got more pitching prospects and an outfielder who is going to take a while to get up unless they are so desperate for outfield help. And I don't know, you know, with Chapman coming back, when you guys talked about that in the email today, you know, he'll probably go DH first base and they'll have some help there, but they still need another, you know, lengthening bat, in my opinion, if they're going to make any type of a run. I think the Red Sox weakened themselves.
They did, offensively.
The Giants may have found a first baseman, a guy that was a hot prospect.
Mitch, you're cutting out. You're cutting out a little bit.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Try it
all
again.
Right, go ahead.
The Giants may have found a first baseman, a former Phillies prospect that was with a couple of other teams, but Dominic Smith.
Well, remember
him up on waivers.
And he was a Red Sox,
and he was a Met too. Because I remember, yeah, I think he got drafted by the Mets, and he didn't. He kind of washed out there. But
They like him enough. They cut Lamont Wade, late night Lamont, who the Angels just signed.
Well, Lamont Wade, I remember him when they were talking about him when he was down at AAA Sacramento and they called him up and he had a, you know, pretty good night. I think either he's going to be up at the big club or he's going to be down at AAA Salt Lake.
Well, late night Lamont had when they called him up, it wasn't just one night.
I know that.
He was up for over a half a season. And he's been a bust the last 2 years. Now the Angels, who are picking up a lot of waiver wire guys, but the Giants have Dominic Smith, that they're going to give a shot to.
I think what will probably happen, I think, this is just my thought, Rafi Devers is going to stay at his DH role And on occasionally, depending on, you know, what matchups they have, then we'll see if Rafi Devers gets in to play first base and relieve Dom Smith or Matt Chapman if they decide to go that route and platoon.
And Dominic Smith was a Yankee briefly. I don't know. You know,
it was basically a cup of coffee with an espresso and a shot of espresso for the Yankees and Red Sox. It really wasn't much.
So I got to get back to basketball because you were talking about coaches.
Yes.
I had a laugh over the weekend. You know who, the New York Knicks, one of their coaching candidates is? The man who believes that the word defense is the ultimate four-letter expletive, former Lakers, Sacramento, and three other teams, Mike Brown.
By the way, you know what that reminds, remember, what was it, on Friday, maybe Thursday, the Knicks had asked six teams to interview their head coaches for their head coaching position. And all of them said, N-O. They denied the request.
Can you see the Knicks players going from Tom Thibodeau, who may be the best defensive NBA defensive coach
until the postseason rolls around?
That's his utilization of players. That's his short bench. But you see him going from Thibodeau to Mike Brown?
Hold on. Let's go one step further. How about if they can't get Mike Brown, right? How about Mike D'Antoni, former Phoenix Suns head coach, another guy that thinks
he's
defense
bad
is,
too. Well, yeah, defense is a dirty word to him too.
Something tells me. The former Denver Nuggets head coach Mike Malone's going to be that guy. I don't know why. I just have that feeling in the pit of my stomach.
Because
he's won a championship with Nikola Jokic. I mean, a guy that won a championship with a superstar about not even 2 years ago. And he still knows how to coach basketball. And I think if the Knicks were smart, that would be the guy, if I were, you know, a guy that needs to keep his grubby little paws off the Knicks to actually run them correctly. James Dolan, the biggest cancer in the NBA, and the Rose guy who's in their front office right now, that's who they need to try and get as the Knicks head coach. That's just me. I think Mike Malone still knows how to coach. And if George Karl was still available for coaching, I think he'd be another one. If the Knicks were smart and they wanted to go that route.
Let's find out if there are any participants or waiting to talk to us here on Sports Roundtable. And let me see if Trish can tell us if there are any hands raised at this time.
We do have a hand raised, and that would be Troy Larson.
Troy, yes.
Here I am.
All right, Troy.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Red Sox are right behind you.
Yeah, well, it's like this. We have the same thing last year, too. Twins won 12. This year, Twins have won 13 straight.
Yep.
Then we did okay for a while. Now they're like in a slump.
Is it pitching? Is it hitting? Is it defense? Why can't Rocco Baldelli and the Twins, you know, keep themselves, you know, in the hunt for it? Cause at one point they were not that far behind the Tigers in the
AL I think it's a combination of things. I think it's a combination of pitching and they're not hitting. In fact, three out of our past 11 losses, I think it is, have been double, we have lost by double runs. And to illustrate my point even further, Last week we lost 2 out of 3 to Texas. Texas scored 36 runs against the Twins in that series. In two of those games, the Rangers scored 16 runs. Yeah, in the two losses.
Wow.
And the game we did win 6-4. And somehow the rookie, David Festa, he actually pitched okay. But, but here's the other thing I want to point out. Yesterday, we were winning 1-0. And Simeon Woods Richardson, he is the pitcher. He actually was in the minors for a while, but then the Twins called him back up to take the place of Zebby Matthews. Another rookie who's dealing with some shoulder soreness. So Woods Richardson, through five innings, he has thrown 53 pitches, only allowed one hit, and Rocco decides, nope, we have a fresh bullpen, we're gonna take him out. With only 53 pitches.
Of course.
And I heard Rocco's comment in the postgame show, it's like, you know what, you could have him pitch into the six. You can always take him out in the six if he gets into trouble. Because what ended up happening yesterday, Durant comes on again, allows the tied run to score in the ninth inning, and let me mention, those lead-off walks, Saturday, ninth inning, Durant comes in to pitch in a 2-2 tie game. Guess what he does? Walks the lead-off batter. The lead-off batter scores, game over. That is Saturday's game against the Houston Astros. Same thing on Sunday, only this time it's the tying run. And then, of course, he loses it in the bottom of the 10th inning. Rocco, I think, needs to use better judgment as when he needs to let the pitchers go deeper in the games, especially yesterday. But I really believe that if the Twins continue this nosedive, and I know Don is a big supporter of Rocco on this show, but Rocco needs to be canned. There's just no question about it. Rocco has to go. With the exception of a 2019 season, there's been stretches where the Twins have not been very consistent. And I think part of why we were able to get back in the playoffs in 2023 has to do with the fact that, American League, the Central was down as far as the competition that year. That was the only reason why we were able to get into the playoffs, that year.
And there's no doubt the Tigers and the Royals have made a renaissance the last couple of years, and that's going to cause problems in Minnesota and Cleveland alike.
Well, the Royals are slipping right now. They're below 500.
Yeah, well, every team right now in the American League Central is losing. So Twins have had an excellent opportunity to gain some ground on Detroit. But they haven't been able to do that because, as I've said before, they have lost. I'm gonna have this up again quick. This is since the last game against Oakland. The Athletics. They're no longer called the Oakland Athletics. They're just the Athletics right now since they are in Sacramento. But, so the Twins have lost. Let me have this again. 1-3. So we lost 2-3 to Toronto, 2-3 to Texas, 5-8. They have lost 8 out of their past 10 games. So that's, this has got to turn around. If you want to have any hope, and of course, Bobby just said, but the Red Sox are catching up. But I think if the Twins want to have any hope at all of making it back into the postseason this year, they got to start playing more consistent baseball. Because you know what? There's just no way if Rocco goes on a major tailspin this year, in my mind, there's no way he's back next year.
Yeah, he's had a tough time getting into the next level of the playoffs for a long, long time.
Well, since 2019, and in fact, the only three wins Rocco's had in the playoffs were the two against the Toronto Blue Jays in the first round series, 2 years ago, almost now. And then winning game two against the, Houston Astros, in the second round. Otherwise, he's not won a, playoff series. And it just seems like, and my dad and I have, you know, we're talking about this, last night. It just seems like Rocco has always have had stretches with the exception of 2019, where the Twins go into major, the tailspin, even the end of the 2020 season, which was shortened due to COVID, restrictions. But at the end of that 60 game season, the Twins were actually not winning as much as they had been. So, you know, there is a track record there that Rock was not always have had been playing a consistent baseball. Even 2022, you know, Twins had a shot of making the playoffs. Ian Urey is the September nosedive. Last year, kind of the same deal. So yes, Rocco has got to get in gear, and I'll say it one more time. If he doesn't, he definitely deserves to be canned.
Well, thank you very much for your contribution there, Troy. We appreciate that. And, how about your Timberwolves? Let me ask you that. You think Kevin Durant's going to the Timberwolves or what?
I don't think so. I thought I read something over the weekend suggesting that he probably won't be coming here. You know, the other thing I want to point out is who are we going to trade to Phoenix, to Phoenix to get him here?
Gobert.
I don't, but for some reason, I don't think that's going to happen either.
I wish it wouldn't happen, but Phoenix would love it.
Maybe McDaniels, maybe? I don't know. I mean,
Phoenix needs a big man.
Well, yeah, they need a big man, but the way the Suns play lately, they're playing a whole lot of small ball and jacking up threes.
Yeah, so, and right now, Naz Reid and Alexander Walker and Julius Randle, I don't know if they're all going to be coming back here next year.
You know what? I think Randle might be the piece you guys might need to trade because he might be, if you're going to try to get Durant, he might be. I'm not saying definite, but if he's going to be a free agent and you can find a way to swing a deal with Randle and get KD, I think you win that deal if you can make that deal happen.
Well, the word is if, and I don't know, yeah. And I can't remember what I stumbled upon this weekend, but it just, or whatever, last week, it just all seemed like that the Timberwolves don't have a shot of, getting him. So I don't know.
Well, Anthony Edwards needs some more help. It's that simple. He needs more help.
Well, he also needs some help with his attitude too. Let me just say that. I mean, he likes to argue with the refs. I don't know. But, I mean, it just seems like the more he's played in the NBA, the more he's gotten into his head that he's the big shot. Like, he's probably the next LeBron James.
Well, Troy, that brings up the issue that I've mentioned earlier, and then I had an exchange or a couple of exchanges with Bob via email. I'm really over all of these NBA players who think they're bigger than the game. I am really tired, and maybe that has something to do with why I'm not as much of an NBA fan as I used to be. I am tired of big-headed, overpaid basketball players. The NBA is run by the players. It's not run by the league management or by the team owners. It's run by those bloody players. And I guess at my age, that's not how I learned about the NBA and basketball. I'm pretty sick of the attitude of too many of these NBA players.
Well, you know, to your point, Mitch, I'm only 40 years old, and, you know, I've not been a lifelong Timberwolves fan, necessarily. I didn't really follow a lot of the sports very much until, like, a little later in life, but other than baseball, which I actually started following way a long time ago. But you know, the thing is if they were not very good, the Timberwolves, that is, if they were not very good, I probably would not be listening to a lot of their games right now. But, I don't know, for whatever reason, the NBA doesn't necessarily hold the same interest as, like, baseball does, as, you know, like, the NFL or college football or basketball do. But I think part of it might be because of the Eagles, you know, some of these players. That's probably a part of it. So.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Yeah.
Well, for me, it's a lot of it. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's gotta be what, 90%, maybe 95% Eagles, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I
can't really give you a percentage, but I think that's just, you know, that's just my thought.
Yeah, and, you know, we got a good share of it here when Jimmy Butler was here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It just seemed like after that one playoff year, all of a sudden, I don't know, Jimmy Butler his attitude must start to show up more, and all of a sudden, he's gone.
And then the same thing, and then when he went to the Sixers, same thing, when he went to the Heat. Same thing.
Now the Warriors?
And now he did okay with the Warriors, but here's the question. How long until he gets that sourpuss attitude again?
Next year, he does the same thing with Golden State. He wears out his welcome within a year.
Sure does. It may be less than a year.
Yeah,
then this might be the best team he's going to be on ever.
You know, it could very well be. You know, Butler did start with the Bulls.
He did well with Chicago, and then the same thing happened then. Cause when the Bulls had to do a rebuild, he's one of those players that doesn't like to be a part of rebuilds.
Hey, Bob, let's see if there are any other calls, cause if not, I've got a baseball rant.
Okay. Thank you, Troy.
Yep. You got it.
All right.
See you, Troy.
Trish, do we have anybody waiting? Right now.
We are all clear.
All right, let us know if that changes. Mitch,
what's
the
rant? Go.
I really have a rant and a half.
That's good.
This should be good.
The quicker rant maybe is Tim Neverett did it again yesterday. Dustin May, who seems to have a problem with his focus. I think he's ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
He can pitch really well for a couple of innings and then just forget how to find home plate. But he did manage to get through six innings and give up three runs, all in one inning and all with two outs.
Yep.
And when he was removed, Neverett says, "A quality start for Dustin May, six innings and three runs."
No, I think it's a quality start, but guess what? Did he leave with the lead? Because if it's a quality start,
He left with the lead because of a three-run home run in the bottom of the fifth.
It's a quality start. Plus, if the Dodgers bullpen finished it, he would win the game.
Well, they did. But here's my problem with that, okay?
I know where you're going with this.
Allowing three runs in six innings is a 4.50 ERA. Now, you know, obviously baseball is passing me by, but it used to be that a pitcher with an ERA right around four or higher was not considered a particularly good pitcher.
Now all of a sudden,
4.5 is a quality start?
Hold on, Mitch. I saw a pitcher's ERA at the single A level. Was it eight point something? And giving up, what was it, four runs on one inning, it bumped that ERA from 7-something to 9.16. Basically over a run and a half without even getting out of an inning. And I'm thinking, holy cow.
Yeah, to me that's not a quality start, and there really are a few pitchers with ERAs under three, used to be the gold standard. If you Sonny had an ERA Sonny, under three.
Sonny Gray's under an average took a beating against Milwaukee and just by one inning by itself. Gave up a sixth spot, and that ERA took a big old major, a nice big old hit, like some dude just like, what?
Well, unfortunately, when he pitched against the Dodgers, he shut us out for seven innings.
Well, remember that you had like an hour and a half rain delay too.
That's an hour 17
rain delay. Cause the game didn't start until 8:32.
That's my first rant. My second rant is I think the Dodgers made a mistake in signing Roky Sasaki.
Okay.
Who is done for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not because he's hurting. It was announced yesterday by Dave Roberts that he has lost confidence and doesn't think he can ramp up the number of pitches that he's currently been throwing. And reading between the lines, I believe
damaged goods.
No, I think he regrets leaving Japan. You know, most of the Japanese pitchers who come over here, and the Dodgers have three of them, are 26, 28, 30 years old. I think Sasaki at 23
is not having second thoughts.
I wonder, he's not matured yet.
And I think when you have like a Yamamoto and a probably soon to be coming back Shohei Ohtani.
Tonight. He starts tonight.
Well, you know what that means with him, you know, getting ramped back up without going back down to AAA or AA. Sasaki is unfortunately, in his mind, the odd man out. So unfortunately, with him being the third wheel in this rotation,
he's not mature yet. Yeah, my thought was that they really should have had him stay and pitch a full season at AAA.
Exactly.
Now, that might not have worked out given all the starting staff injuries, but he's not ready for Major League Baseball.
You know what? I'll go one step further. Forget AAA. How about start him in AA? And if he's pitching well there, do what the Cardinals are doing with Quinn Matthews. He started up at double A Springfield. Now he's at AAA Memphis starting. I think that's what they should have done with Sasaki.
When Andrew Friedman is all by himself at night having a nightcap, I wonder if he has second thoughts about having signed Sasaki.
The only thing right now with Sasaki he's doing is tossing and turning in his bed. He can't even sleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the parent that has the dreaded midnight phone call when their kid basically gets into a scrape. It's not paralyzing or injury wise, but you know, when it's their first time driving, so on and so forth, I think this one, Andrew Freeman and the Dodgers front office brass are kind of thinking right now with Sasaki.
Well, anyway, I feel much better getting that off my chest.
Oh no.
Points, I mean, that's taken, Mitch.
That's a perfect rant, because I think a lot of teams have that problem. Not just your Dodgers. I think a lot of these pitchers and a lot of these hitters, when they come up, because they think they're all that in a bag of chips, they're not really ready for the rigors that come with this game.
Mitch, along those lines, my rant about pitching has to do with, okay, so let's say the Dodgers are losing by a run and they take out the starter. It's, two outs in the seventh inning.
And he's gone 6 2/3.
And the reliever comes in, and let's say there's it's a tie game. I'm sorry, tie game.
Tie game.
Relief pitcher comes in with two outs,
and the starter gets a no decision.
He steals home, go ahead run, and then all of a sudden,
and by the way, you close the book on the starter because that runner belonged to him. So instead of getting a no decision, he's now in line for the loss because he didn't even get the third out.
Bob has
we have 3 minutes.
Oh, thank you, Trisha. Actually, I said it wrong. Let me rephrase this scenario over here. Okay, so in other words, a relief pitcher can come in and face one batter, and under the right circumstances, can actually be credited with the win. I'll say it that way.
Well, if I remember right, what was it? I remember a Cardinals start with Pallante. He didn't go five, but yet the Cardinals used three relievers and they gave Kyle Lay, it was a Saturday, I remember this, because Pallante had gone 4 1/3. So he wouldn't have qualified for the win.
And that's the other problem, because even if he were the best pitcher
out of all
the four,
them,
based on the rule the way it is, as long as he's the starter that doesn't go five, even if he's the best pitcher of the four, he still can't get the win.
He won't get the win because
well, the starting pitcher issue, I'm wondering, with nine inning full pitching games becoming as rare as, or rarer
the
than,
bird?
Than
oh,
the Dodo
almost.
Bird.
Man,
I'm wondering if there'll ever come a time when Major League Baseball will decide that a four inning starter will qualify for the win.
They do
the same thing in the minor leagues, but you want to talk about a nine inning pitcher. Don, I know we only have a couple of minutes left, but Don and I just got done listening to a treat of a game.
Mitch, that's a good idea. Four innings,
I mean,
qualify for a win. I like that.
It may come to that.
If you get a chance to go back and listen to the game that just concluded on The Greatest Show on Dirt, you want to talk about a nine inning performance? We saw something we haven't seen in 65 years. Since
What's that, Luther? What did we see?
119 pitch, complete game, 19 strikeout, no hitter. Arkansas
19 strikeouts and 119 pitches.
That's 19 strikeouts, 119 pitches.
Who was it?
Oh.
Arkansas starter Gage Wood made himself some cash on The Greatest Show on Dirt.
And we are out of time, gentlemen. It's been a fast hour,
and
we appreciate it very much. And we look forward to another edition next week. And we'll see who wins the hockey championship, Florida or Edmonton. We'll see who wins the basketball championship.
Florida can close that.
Well, we'll see. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Go safe with God's abundant blessings. Take care.